and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you. Normally Anthony Mormino is sitting next to me, but we're going to change it around. I had Anthony yesterday on the kind of the gambler's version of Racing Across America. But today is with Travers Weekend upon us, we kind of switched roles a little bit. And we're going to focus on the Saturday card. And of course, Seth Merrill will be front and center here on Saturday as well with a stacked lineup. But I'm going to bring in a second in. I'll bring Al Stahl, who's got a real shot with Mascot Parade in the Travers. A little bit after that, Brad Cox will be here. And then to wrap it up, Jack Sisterson and Lexingtonian in the Four Go will be here as well. The Midsummer Derby is somehow, some way upon us. Week 7 is somehow, some way upon us. It tends to go quick up here in upstate New York in the summer. And I'll bring in Al Stahl. Al, always appreciate you stopping by. I know it can get a little hectic up here in the summer, but thank you for making the time. And how's the summer treating you?
So far, so good. Got a little more to do, but we're excited to be here, as usual, 26 years.
We've got, Al's been a staple up here for many years. We've got kind of a few New Orleans kind of weather behind us a little bit. We talked off the air, some good news about fairgrounds, and obviously you're very prolific there over the winter, but some heat up here in Saratoga. I guess before we get into the teeth of it, just in general, how's Mascot Parade doing as we come to the Midsummer Derby on Saturday? You mentioned the post for him is perfect as well.
Yeah, no, all systems are go with Mascot Parade. He came out of the gym dandy, great. A couple breezes since then have been fine. Acts like he's actually improved, might have picked up some weight. So we're in good shape, and the draw was just, for me at least, was dramatically different in a good way compared to the Jim Dandy. Speed is to the inside. We can stalk like we want to stalk, and I feel good about the race. I really do.
He's, as I look at him on paper, and I saw him actually, you know, many times this winter at the fairgrounds as he progressed and ended up breaking his maiden, and then, you know, the coming out party, obviously Derby weekend at Churchill when he freaked in that allowance. To me, Al, he looks like the typical second half three-year-old that maybe did he figure it out or he's growing up as some of these other more precocious types were on the Triple Crown trail. He's kind of taken the road less traveled to bring you here.
Right. Well, he's a growing type of horse, and we just want to give him a chance. Honestly, we didn't see that race at Churchill coming, but we always thought he had potential, and he got a big wake-up call leaving the fairgrounds, heading to Kentucky, and we just rode him off of that, and he kept improving, and he did well in the Ohio Derby. He did very well in Jim Dandy. So we're going to take him as far as he can go. And he is a textbook later half three-year-old. There's no question about it. And you'd see it in a physical with him. He's a big boy.
We'll take a look now at the Ohio Derby. I mentioned that huge race on May 1st at Churchill when he won by 11 and 3 quarters. And it prompted you to take a look at the Ohio Derby. Grade 3 at Thistle Down. We'll pick this one up here. He's on the outside. Very versatile, tactical. Now, you mentioned with the post today, sending him to Thistle and stepping up in class, beating some good horses. You know, Keep Me in Mind was in there, King Fury, both of them on Saturday. Talk a little bit about this effort, Al, in answering the bell.
Well, if you look at him, he's traveling really nicely. The jock really hasn't asked him for much. He did have to go after that horse of Todd's Promise Keeper. He got Luis Saez on the lead, so he used him a little bit down the backside to get in that spot. Then you always just get the feeling that he was just going to keep on going, even though there's some three graded stakes winners coming behind him. So I thought that was a really good race because the race at Churchill, he was, you know, an isolated splendor at the end of the
right.
at the end of the race. So he didn't get a whole lot out of that. So it was a major step up, strictly from a competition standpoint. So he stood the race very well and gave us a little confidence to come up here and run some nice races here.
So you bring him up here after this, and you point to the Jim Dandy. Before we get to the Jim Dandy, how is it? We always hear, you know, trainers say, well, we got up to Saratoga and my horse really enjoyed it. Is there something to that, Al, that horses get up here? Is it the cooler, well, not today, but the cooler weather and the surroundings that these horses just kind of take to?
Yeah, well, the right horse does
okay.
it. The right horse does it. They come up here and flourish. Some horses get a little nervous up here because there's a lot to see. There's so much activity, especially our barn over here. There's tours going on and horses crossing from the harness track and Sanford Court. So, he's laid back. Nothing's bothered him. And he's a horse that's done really, really well up here. And without having a scale, there's no question in my mind, he's gotten bigger and heavier, and he really looks the part. So, yeah, he's done really, really well up here.
You point to the Jim Dandy. And I thought it was significant, Al. There's obviously, you know, with all these three-year-old races around and, you know, these derbies that are around the country, you kind of knew Essential Quality was going to be in here, going to be in there, I should say. And the Jim Dandy, you didn't duck him. Let's take a look at that on the back stretch. I thought Masquerade ran huge, Al, because with the way this race played out, a lot of speed, three-way kind of duel up here. He's in the middle chasing in a little tricky spot. You would have thought maybe he comes out of it late and gives it up. He was right there, Al. He was the lone survivor. He had a little trouble. I think he would have been closer late as well. Talk about this huge effort, really facing, you know, the best by far field he'd faced.
Right. Well, right now, going into the turn, you'll see that.
He's the two.
He's the two. He's in the blue in between. You got the Ortiz brothers surrounding you. Both of them had speed, and we weren't going to take off with them to save our lives because they would have backed the pace up, and then the other two would have come on the outside. We would have been last down the backside. So we basically had to let him bounce from the gate, and he got involved in quicker fractions than anybody expected. And he's running right now as hard as he can, as far as he can. And if you'll notice, the other two speeds back way out of it, like you mentioned. And I know the other horse lost a lot of ground, the champion, but I thought we fought really hard. And right now we're digging as hard as we can. And I only worked him twice between the Ohio Derby and the Jim Dandy. That was probably because of shipping. We went to Cleveland and back, and then we came all the way up here. And I just, you know, wanted to see how this race would do for him. And I think he really needed that race. The track was a little deepish early in the meet, so having all that come together and have him try so hard, I think he might be sitting on a little bit of a better race and more comfortable trip with the current draw.
Two works since the Jim Dandy. I'm looking now, and that 8-12 work really stands out. 47-2. Where I kind as you were talking, I kind of looked just to see what he was doing, and I said, well, maybe a couple maintenance breezes. That was a pretty serious move on the 12th. Huh?
On the 12th, we said going 49. He looked like he was going at 49. The clock said 47, but that was a track changing a little bit also.
Okay.
But there was no effort whatsoever with him. And the best work, his last work, was the best work he's ever had in his life.
Okay, 48 I mean, flat on the 21st.
He's been a little lazy. If you look at it on the XB, he really was in the bridle traveling like he was going somewhere. And the time was, you know, the time was very nice on that type of racetrack. There's a still photo that Adam Colonese took, and the young man on the horse was just absolutely anchored onto him. His heels were straight down to the ground. And, the horse's muscles were bulging, the kid's muscles were bulging. He really traveled like he was somebody last time. So all those things give you a good feel going forward.
Let's bring it to Saturday now. You mentioned the post position. I can't imagine you could be any happier. You've got the long run into the first turn. You're now outside. We theoretically have inside speed, probably Midnight Bourbon. In the perfect world, you have a target, I would think. Miguel Mena knows him very well, your guy Miguel. I would think you're in a good spot on Saturday, at least trip-wise.
Yeah, the draw, walking away from the draw, we felt like a completely different than we did with the Jim Dandy draw. So if you had given me the seven names and put them in slots, I might have laid them down exactly.
Okay.
If there was a contest, I might have won it. But speed to the inside, the favorite down on the inside, the other six riders will know where he is.
Of course.
So that might work out. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Louie try to maybe try and get a better spot with mm-hmm. with essential quality, maybe try and get off of Midnight Bourbon's hip. So we'll see how that plays out, but I'm very comfortable with the six and the run to the first turn. I think that'll help us because we got a lot of natural gate speed, and there shouldn't be pressure from the outside this time. King Fury drops out of it, so I'm very happy, and I'm looking forward to see when they go into the wire the first time where everybody is. I think we might be in the right spot.
As a Fairgrounds and as a Louisville, as a Kentucky guy, you've seen essential quality pretty much since day one. Obviously, he's odds on. He's a two-year-old champion. He's a Belmont winner. He's the horse to beat. Do you have a race in you? You have to get to him, no doubt about it, but your horse is rapidly improving. Can you get there on Saturday?
We can get there. I think essential quality realistically needs to stub his toe a little bit because everything he does, he kind of does comfortably, and I think he's, you know, one of the better three-year-olds that have come around in the last 4 or 5 years. And, you know, it's his race. There's no question about it. But things happen in horse racing. I'd rather kind of run against one horse that looks like a standout than a gate full of horses. I mean, I think we're very competitive with the second six, so to speak. And if he gets trapped in there, he doesn't run his A race or dirt or just anything that can happen in horse racing, especially in Saratoga, I think we'll be right there.
Tom Stetot knows that, unfortunately, right? So you maybe get a little, your old one maybe a little bit.
If we break like Tom Stetot broke last year, then it's all over anyway. But that's things can happen. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And Al Stahl, I appreciate you stopping by. I know it's a busy morning. You're going to school in a little bit. You said you looking for anything there? Just normal kind of.
No, just let him have a look. He'll swell up going to the paddock. That's he's an adrenaline horse. He trains kind of very lethargically and just kind of protects himself, which is a good thing now.
Yep.
But I think we'll take him over there and just let him have a look around, and I look for him to puff up a little bit like he does, and the photographers will be popping those pictures because he's an eyeful of a horse, and just bring him home and he'll be laying down, and he'll eat first and lay down all afternoon, and we'll train tomorrow and show up on Saturday.
Did we get robbed of some good television with, you said Billy Babin was maybe going to stop by? It's a good group of owners, it sounds like.
Yeah, the owners are, it's as good a story as the horses. First time guys put
awesome.
Their money together. We talked about it for a while and didn't think a whole lot about it. I think maybe they will, maybe they won't. And one year he showed up and says, we're ready. So we bought a couple of horses and Mass Parade was in the first crop of two horses that they bought, and they're having the time of their lives. I mean, from Derby Day to right now, their feet haven't touched the ground. They're having so much fun, and win, lose, or draw, they're good guys, and I'm happy to be associated with them.
$180,000 yearling purchase, $494 in the bank right now and growing, so not a bad spot to be in.
No question. And offers have come in on him, and you know, there's a lot of interest, you know, along those lines.
Al, you've always made the time up here. I appreciate it. I know how busy a morning it can be up here. You've got work to do. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for stopping by.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Al Stahl, Mask Parade. I think he's got a legitimate chance. If there's going to be an upset on Saturday, I like the spot he's in. It'll bring us to our first break on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. When we come back, Brad Cox, favorite essential quality. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
with you. Special thanks to Al Stahl, who stopped by for a quick one here. I know he's schooling Masquerade, so it was good to have Al here. And I'll bring in right now Brad Cox, reigning Eclipse Award winner. And I got to thank him for stopping by, too, because you've got some work to do with Essential Quality later this morning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. 10:30, we're going to school.
10:30, he's going to school, so we'll get him on here quickly. The heavy favorite in the Midsummer Derby, two-year-old champion, hasn't missed a beat. At three, fourth in the Derby, and then he picks up the Belmont. Brad, we'll show it quickly. I would think after a wide trip in the Derby, where he certainly ran his race, just came up a little short. You had Mandaloon run second. Not here. Talk about it here. He's the two horse in the Godolphin Blue, obviously. Hot Rod Charlie up front, doling it out, and really, Essential Quality answered the bell in here, running a huge figure in a huge race.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, disappointing the race, you know, we see we're kind of close, making some headway into, I'd call a hot pace.
Very hot pace.
Yeah, very hot pace. So, you know, kind of thought right here, you know, we're striking distance. We're in position to make our move, and we had gradually worked him up the backside ever so easily to get him in this position, and then around the turn and turning for home, and kind of was right there head to head with Hot Rod Charlie, and you know, great stretch duel. It was you know, great for the fans of racing, and you know, Triple Crown all over, just racing period. It was, you know, a great stretch duel, and we're you know, fortunate to come out on top. It was you know, really had to dig into battled against a really good three-year-old in Hot Rod Charlie himself.
Yeah, really good horse, a Louisiana Derby winner, so obviously you were familiar with him. This is a mile and a half, and you're going to see him grind it out here. This was an awesome stretch duel as well, because Hot Rod Charlie ran that day. You see the 109 buyer. You know, you've been doing this a long time now, Brad. Three-year-olds don't run 109 buyers anymore, not in June at least.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah. You're right. It seems like any time these three-year-olds even receive any type of triple-digit buyer at three, it's you know, a spectacular performance. And these two, you know, well ahead of the third-place horse, that kind of stamped themselves as the two of the better horses in this class. So you know we're going to need a big effort on Saturday. It's the Travers. Everybody's coming to play, bring their A game, and you know, our horse certainly acts like he's you know, certainly hasn't regressed, and seemed like he's moved forward since the Jim Dandy. So excited about the opportunity on Saturday.
So you back off a little bit after the Belmont. I think maybe a lot of people were surprised. You immediately mentioned the Jim Dandy, and this day and age of the road less traveled, you know, maybe you could have easily trained up to the Travers. Let's show the Jim Dandy. Weird race, Brad, because you were very wide into the first turn, and wide again. They went fast early. You had to really gut it out. Talk a little bit about this race and maybe what you were thinking as it was unfolding.
Oh, well, right here, going into the first turn, I never thought this would happen.
Of course.
I never thought we'd be five wide in a five-horse field. And I thought it caught Louis off guard just a little bit as well. Obviously, if you look at it right now, you're thinking, you know, the 1-2 finishers are right next to each other.
Sure.
You know, it looked like, you know, I didn't think they were going real quick. They went... The fractions in the Curlin were real similar to the fractions in the Jim Dandy.
Curlin
was run the day before, exactly. And, you know, we were actually making the pace with Snowhouse in that race. So coming into this, or after reviewing this and that race, you know, similar fractions throughout. We didn't come home quite as quick in this race. Don't know if the track was as quick. And obviously, you know, there was some ground loss. So, you know, it's really hard to, you know, be that wide and still can around the turns here at Saratoga and still have a horse that can finish. You know, right here it looks like obviously Louis going to work on him a little bit, you know, kind of riding him along a little bit, but that's just kind of how he is. He's like that of the mornings. You just kinda,
he's not a great work, whereas
no,
we saw Mandaloon in Kentucky, he's an awesome
right.
workhorse. This is not him.
Yeah,
correct?
No, exactly. I think everybody was kind of, you know, wanting to knock him, and you know, he was working with a horse, Spa City, that's you know, leading up to the Derby. The two works prior to the Kentucky Derby were Spa City, which he's what we call a morning glory at times. You know, he's still a nice horse, but he's not a graded horse. And, you know, this is obviously a grade one horse. And the one thing I've said, you know, this horse gives a rider a feeling that we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone that works him and rides him, you know, the morning just says, you know, I have the horse to the inside of him whenever I want him.
Right.
So, you know, once again, he battled battled down the lane here. Thought he got a lot out of it from a fitness standpoint. And he seemed to move forward mentally and physically since this. And, you know, the Travers has been our goal all summer.
Sure.
And we're here, and I think we're in good shape.
As you mentioned, not the best workhorse in your barn or out there. And then I'm looking here at a sharp bullet on August 14th. You had to be pleased with that?
Yeah, we were looking for a good move.
Okay.
2 weeks out. And he gave it to us.
Yeah.
We were right where, with the training horses, it's kind of like, you know, you look for the good moves, but you hold your breath till you see them the next morning and see how they cool out, how they scope, what they look like on the road the next morning. And he's been nothing. It's been all positive with him after his last two works.
The maintenance work looks like more on the 21st?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, not wanting to do quite as much. I think he was 101 and 2,
yep,
maybe from the half-mile pole back around to the mile pole here at Saratoga. But was in hand with Bonnie South. She's running in the personal.
Yeah.
And they've been workmates the last 2 weeks, so
okay.
I think it'll pay off.
You're inside on Saturday. Much better post than last time. Al was here. You were talking to him offset. He's got Masked Parade, who's drawn pretty well. How do you see this race unfolding? Not a lot of early speed, I would think. You're very familiar with Midnight Bourbon. He's on the rail. I would think probably he goes. Do you have a trip in mind?
Yeah, I think sitting right off of him.
Okay.
I kind of thought we would be sitting right off of somebody in the Jim Dandy as well, but that, you know, we had to, you know, they threw us a curveball in the first turn, and obviously, you know, Louis was able to adjust and, you know, still get a base hit. So, you know, we're hopeful that, you know, Louis will be able to work out a trip. This horse is drawn down inside several different times,
mm-hmm,
from Belmont, and the Southwest. So, you know, he's able to, you know, adapt to wherever he draws and also paces, the pace scenario as well. I think that's what makes him so special is his ability to be close when there's no pace and then obviously be able to close into a hot pace.
Ninth career start on Saturday, and he really, since we saw him, that was actually Derby weekend last, mm-hmm, year, debut at Churchill Downs. He really hasn't missed a beat, hasn't missed a dance. It's got to be a testament to the horse, Brad, that from then to now,
yeah,
two-year-old champion, you know, I, if he wins on Saturday, he's, you know, 1-9 to be the three-year-old champion. It does not happen a lot. It's been pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, he's, you know, once again, like you said, just been a model of consistency, very sound horse, smart, intelligent horse. And, you know, I think it goes back to, you know, perfect example in regards to the works. He doesn't, mm-hmm, overdo it. He doesn't,
right,
overdo it in the works. He doesn't overdo it in the afternoon. I thought maybe one of the coolest things with this horse is when he won the Belmont, he really battled down the lane. And, you know, if you really zoom in or I've seen angles or pictures of it, he throws his ears up. It's,
mm-hmm,
like, I could go around there again,
sure,
if he wanted to. So,
right,
you know, he's impressive. He's, you know, a tremendous amount of stamina, great pedigree, a testament to what Godolphin has, you know, a world-class broodmare band. Obviously breed to some of the best sires in the world, and they have some of the best sires in the world. So, you know, they deserve a horse like this.
Mm-hmm.
They've had horses like this, and, you know, he definitely has added to the Godolphin legacy, and hopefully he's not finished yet.
Just real quickly before we let you go, you mentioned Godolphin. Judmont is right there with them. You've got, well, Mandaloon and Bonnie South. But Bonnie, mm-hmm, didn't fire at Delaware, 1.25 miles. To me, I'm just looking on paper, it's a confident move. You bring her back Saturday against some real heavy hitters in the personal ensign.
Yeah, no, she's training great. You know, we need a grade one with her. She's a grade two winner. That's, you know, why we have her in training at,
mm-hmm,
four is to, you know, she's a sound filly. She's doing great. Worked with Essential Quality the last few weeks. I think they both got plenty out of it. And, you know, once again, like you said, we're going to draw a line through that one. If,
okay,
she throws another clunker, you know, maybe you're going to start scratching your head a little bit. But, you know, that Delaware thing, it was kind of a last-minute decision,
okay,
to attack that race. Thought it made sense. And, you know, she was heavy favorite. But, you know, just lack of pace.
Yeah.
She should get a pace on Saturday to run into. You know, with you take her Ashland out of the equation, which was off a layoff, and you – take that last race out of the equation. She's very consistent, always shows up. So,
yep,
you know, I'm hopeful that we can get her back on track, and I think she'll show up and run a big race on Saturday.
The goal is to see Mandaloon as a four-year-old?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yes. Garrett O'Rourke from Judmont is, you know, made the comment that the family, you know, would definitely love an opportunity to bring him over for the Saudi Cup. So we're pointing for that. That's going to be our, you know, goal moving forward, and you know, hopefully we can get a race or two into him prior to that, but you know, we'll give him the time that he's that he deserves, and let him just be a horse for a couple months, and then back at it here this fall.
And just real quickly, Folsom's getting good.
Yeah.
Marty Jones the other day, and I would think onward to the Pennsylvania Derby.
Yeah, it's definitely something we're going to look at. We brought him back up here. We'll prepare him here and take a strong look at the Pennsylvania Derby if all's well. And, he's a three-year-old that's had a really good season once moved to the dirt.
Versatile, huh?
Yeah, proud of him. Really stepped up. He's a solid horse that, come from behind horse.
Yeah.
But he does show up and run his race, and proud of what he was able to do.
And will we see Nick's go before Del Mar?
Yeah, we're pointing for the Lucas
you
Classic.
Are,
yeah,
okay.
we're going to – he's actually going to breeze this weekend, maybe possibly as early as tomorrow on the Oklahoma track here. It'll be his first work post-Whitney. He's really, really doing well here. He's moving great, not overdoing it. He has a tendency to want to do that at times. But right now he's really relaxing and enjoying Saratoga like most people and horses.
and humans.
Yeah, so we're going to possibly breeze him tomorrow or Saturday. And if all goes well, we'll ship him back to Churchill the first part of September, maybe that's first to second week of September, and then Lucas Classic, and that'll be our prep for the Breeders' Cup.
There it is. Brad Cox, odds-on favorite, two-year-old champion, and very likely three-year-old champion, essential quality in the Travers. Brad, I know you got to go. I appreciate you making the time this morning. It's always good to see you. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thanks for having me on, Brad. I really appreciate it.
Brad Cox follows up Al Stahl, so we got all Travers here. As we come to our next break on Racing Across America, Jack Sisterson with Lex Antonian in the 4GO. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you. Special thanks to Al Stahl and then Brad Cox to stopping by this morning. They're schooling their Traverse horses here in a little bit. I think Al as we speak and Brad in a few more minutes, Masquerade and Essential Quality. So always thankful to those guys for taking the time on what can be a very busy morning here in Saratoga. I'll bring in my next guest, Jack Sisterson, who's going to tackle the four go with Lex and Tony. And Jack's always making the time for us up here, so we really appreciate that, Jack. Good to see you again on what, as I mentioned, can be a very busy morning up here and a grade one weekend at Saratoga.
Brian, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
You're going to saddle Lexingtonian on Saturday. You were the hunter in the Vanderbilt. You're more of the hunted now. A horse, Jack, that as we saw in the Vanderbilt, has a big race in him, but he can be a little Jekyll and Hyde as well. I'll talk a little bit before we get into it. Just dealing with a horse like that, had some really good races. Then he kind of comes off the bridle a little bit. Talk a little bit about the type of horse he is. He's been really danced a lot of dances for you for the past couple of years.
Very much so, Brian. And he's very sort of workmanlike, as you can see in his workouts on XP TV's at time. And you look at the way he won the Vanderbilt there. We were aggressive early with him, and that was a plan. I don't tell jockeys what to do, but myself and Jose, we sort of discussed briefly. We've been breezing down on the inside rail. He was responding to pressure really well, and we just thought, as a whole, team, we said, Jose, let's break and go forward early. I think we had no option because we were drawing the one. You got to jump and go forward. And he really responded to that initial pressure. And, as you saw, he got headed within the eighth pole. And, look what happened there. So we're exposed now. Everyone knows what we're going to do. We're going to jump and go forward again. Yep. And, if someone wants to go with us, that's fine.
Right.
Lexingtonian's doing great going into it. He's probably a frustrating horse to handicap, so I apologize to all the handicappers out there. That I'm sure the question is going to be asked, what Lexingtonian shows up Saturday? He is showing us signs that he's gone into the race in great shape. I led him to and from the track this morning, and he almost ran me over, so that was a great sign, seeing him energetic the way he is. We found out less is more with him, and you saw the easy breeze in 52.
Looking at it now, yeah.
Again, that's workmanlike for him. Very pleased with the way he did it and leading up to the race on Saturday.
We're first going to take a look at the Churchill race. Now, this is three back in the Churchill Downs, they call it, on Derby Day, the grade one. And I think it's a good testament to his versatility. I mean, close from the clouds in the Bing Crosby last year. A little closer here at Churchill in, obviously, the Calumet Silks. But first of all, Jack, talk about the versatility. I know you made the running in the Vanderbilt. But here at Churchill, he comes from off of it a little bit, just misses to Flagstaff in what was a crazy, crazy finish. He's four deep, five deep, actually, on the outside.
Well, I'm pleased you mentioned that, Brian, because obviously I'm going to be sitting here from a bias standpoint, and we were 13-13, I believe, that day. He's never really got a perfect, ideal post position. He's either drawn on the inside or all the way out wide. As you see, he's sort of contesting a fairly quick pace there, and, he's workmanlike. Tyler's, grinding away at him, and you sort of think, he's off the bridle. I think that might be Flagstaff coming up on his outside there. And he really gets headed again and really digs down deep and shows that, true will to win a race like this, as he showed then. It was a near miss for him. We were very pleased with that effort. He looks like he's going to finish fifth or sixth right
now.
And he's not the biggest of horses, very well put together. And look at the will and the way that I, look at a race like this from an outside person looking in. If you ask me, horses don't love what they're doing. You look at Lexingtonian, I've got a horse like Channel Cat, the will that they show to stick their head out and want to win, they love what they do.
Right. You run him in the Met Mile. I use that term loosely because he didn't do a lot of running. It is what it is. But before we show the Vanderbilt, Jack, the fact that, you brought him back in what's a tough grade one, an Eclipse Award winning champion and Breeders' Cup winner in Whitmore, last of six in a really good Met Mile, obviously, but he didn't really do a lot of running in there. The fact that you brought him back in the Vanderbilt, if nothing else, had to say, he was doing pretty good, and you were confident that he was going to obviously run a lot better.
I have to give all the credit to Lexingtonian. We put the Vanderbilt in his hands. Mm-hmm. You know, he's beat, I think, 45 lengths in the Met Mile. Like you said, I'm not sure if you can even class him running or not. And it was mind-boggling. You know, he was training well going into it.
Right.
And, you know, Tyler said he felt great.
Just and here's the Vanderbilt breaking from the rail here. So
yeah, and again, you know, he showed us signs he was willing, you know, capable of putting up a performance like the Vanderbilt mm-hmm. off a defeat like that. So we entered him in the Vanderbilt, and it worked out perfectly. We were aggressive from the one hole early. He was pressured, and I think he set pretty legitimate fractions throughout.
44-2 to the half, I mean, while being hounded, by the way.
Pressured the hole. We usually horses suck out of there. Mm-hmm. Vince tuck down on the inside, and again, you know, it's not like he's really traveling on the bridle, but if you ride him, you know him, and he's going to respond sort of the harder you're on him, the more he'll respond to you. And, you know, at the top of the sort of the quarter pole, we're just passing there, that I think, wait a minute, we might hang around here for a little bit.
Maybe you get second, be good,
yeah,
a good piece
and we would
here
have been over the moon just to see him, you know, rebound off that Met Mile performance. And might have been a blessing that the Mike Maker horse sort of headed us there. And it's pretty phenomenal to see a horse, you know, he probably went a neck down there, half length.
You don't see it a lot, do you?
You don't know. And to see him regain, I like the way he shakes his head galloping out a little bit, that mm-hmm. he's just a cool little neat horse to be around.
How has he done? You mentioned just the maintenance breeze, a less is more kind of angle. How has he done since that? He's got to answer the bell again. You know, you can just look at the form. It's a good, very good race. Subpar. Can he double up now on Saturday?
We like to think so. You know, he's shown us every signs he can. You know, again, he is a horse that can shut himself off. But like I said, less is more with him. Mm-hmm. We knew going in, you know, we've had a month in between the Vanderbilt to the Fargo. We scheduled the one breeze because we feel like you got to train him to be energetic come right. race day. He's sprinting. We don't need to gallop him a mile and a half every day. Just went an easy half with Mark on him, 52, on Oklahoma, and came out that in great shape. And he's sort of kicking the barn down, ready to go. I think he knows it's coming up race day on Saturday.
Do they know?
I mean, absolutely, yeah. They definitely know. And, you know, the majority of my horses, I don't know what it is. They always lay down the morning of the race.
Okay.
So whether it's here in Saratoga, we've got runners back in Kentucky, I always ask the barn, has he laid down?
Right.
Usually when they lay down, they run a good race. So to answer that question, are they resting up knowing that they're going to run this half? I think the smart ones, the good ones, they know what they're doing.
Right. I'm sure you've looked at this race on paper. You know these horses. You've danced with them quite a bit over the last year or two. There's not a lot of speed in there. You said you're going, right? I would think, at least on paper, and we know races aren't run on paper, but you have to at least like the tactical position you could be in.
Absolutely, Brian. And, you know, immediately now outside is John with mind control. It'll be interesting to see what John and Todd come up with. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Todd had Lexitone in
there.
He did show a new life where first race with Todd there at Belmont.
Yeah, he really improved.
But if you sort of look at the fractions, and I'm sure I'm just learning the New York circuit that 23 and change, 46, and then you look at our fractions, was it a faster track at Saratoga that day, or are we just going to be quicker early? Mm-hmm. Be interested to see what Ricardo does with Yapon there on the outside. Yeah. But like I said, we're exposed now. Everyone knows what we're going to do. We're going to jump and go forward.
Right.
And, you know, Lexitonian can be a target for whoever else wants to sit behind us, or we can get in the speed duel. But we know what we're going
to
do there.
You're 4-1 or so in a grade one on Travers Day. Not the worst spot to be in. and it's kind of a decent segue. Let's bring up Vexatious last year, upsetting Midnight Bijou in the Purcell Ensign. Your first career grade one. I mean, a year later, you're kind of old hat on this. You've won a few more grade ones. You mentioned in the turf race and the Man of War. Let's take a look at that and your first career grade one. Jack and Midnight Bijou at 1-5, and here's Vexatious on the lead right now with the, you know, 1-5 shot coming up to you on the outside. Your best filly and mare in training at this point. What was going through your mind here in mid stretch?
Similar to Lexitonian at the quarter pole, we're going to maybe hang on to hit the board in a grade one, especially she's got a fantastic physical, and the pedigree is second to none on Vexatious. So to get that grade one placing for the farm,
big deal,
would have been massive. And then, you know, Midnight Pursue looms up alongside her, and similar thing, you know, she's got that will to win, and probably a blessing when Ricardo sort of engaged with her, because she She really dug down deep and stuck her head out in front when it counted.
You weren't really able to celebrate it last year.
No,
I mean, there's nothing going on here.
Yeah,
last
and
year.
I had a herniated disc, so I was sitting at home in Lexington watching it. So I was unfortunately not here, but credit to the team there. You know, I didn't need to behave for her to. You know, I had full faith in the great staff that I have that. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them and the farm, so I've got to give a lot of credit to them.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because any time you read the quotes from Jack after a win, it's always the farm, it's always the help. So, I mean, and you mentioned, we've talked several times at the meet, and I can't do the show, I'm back in Lexington, and I know you're going back and forth and a busy schedule up here, and you're probably only as good as your staff, and it sounds like, you know, you put them in very, very high esteem.
Absolutely, and what I found, you know, it's a big team environment, and you know, I grew up, you know, playing soccer, and you know, there's 11 players on the team. You get what man sent off, guess what, advantage the other team.
Right,
and that's what I try and incorporate in my barn, and I found whether it's the hot walkers, the grooms, the riders, assistants, whatever it is, that, you know, include them in the race planning. They want, you know what, they spend more time in the stall with the horse than you do.
Sure.
So why not, you know, hey, you know, I've got Lexingtonian coming up, Jose back home grooms him. We're going to shoot for, and it's amazing how much, you know, energy you feel within, you know, the groom and just incorporating everybody. And I can't do it without them. I'm very thankful and fortunate to have a great team behind me.
Tango, 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 and the grade one Bruce D at Arlington. Sadly, we think probably the last Bruce D / Secretariat at Arlington, a topic for another day, but probably another one of those horses, Jack, that you're not always with, because obviously he's out in Chicago or he's in Kentucky. Big run to be second off the win in the American Derby, right? We'll take a look at it here.
He ran great, you know, again, hitting the board in a grade one.
It's a big deal.
Big deal, and a similar thing at the quarter pole. We're going to hit the board, and, you know, going into it, we were, you know, concerned with Eddie's horse and Rusty's.
Yeah.
You know, they were the progressing types and lightly raced and looked like they could improve off the last efforts. And those were the, you know, the top three finishers. And we were flat out beat by a better horse. Mm-hmm. Eddie's horse was impressive that day. You know, Rusty's horse ran great off a maiden victory there at Ellis. I got to give credit to Declan. He put our horse in a great position. They went slow early. We quickened, like we were going to win the race, flat out beat. I'm going to put my hands up, no excuses there.
Right.
We were happy with the second. If someone had said we would have finished second going into it, we would have took it.
Sure.
So moving forward, you know, we've got options with him. I might actually cut him back in trip and go to the Franklin Simpson at Kentucky Downs with him. People might think, I know Eddie's stretching out to the Julen Grounds Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like the way he sort of flattened out there at the 16th pole, would he get that extra distance at Kentucky Downs? In my opinion, probably no. So I'm going to cut him back and trip to 6.5 and give that a shot.
And honestly, 6.5 at Kentucky Downs is probably like a mile at
Arlington, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth there. So we'll give it a shot there. If it doesn't work out, you know, it's not the last time we're going to take a shot at something.
Well, if you're going to take a shot, it's probably, what, about 600 grand?
Yeah,
or so.
Exactly. So
it's a good time to do it.
He likes fast ground too, so typically it comes up pretty quick down there. So we'll look forward to that.
Yeah. We like to gamble on this network, and fun race today, race five. You got Looney Sima in this 9-furlong dirt race, which we've probably seen up here, I don't know, under 10 times. It's not something the two-year-olds typically do, run 9 furlongs in late August. This is a horse that I thought ran okay on debut at Ellis Park. That's that kind of funky one turn and a half mile. You're not necessarily a guy that cranks them first time out. You know how to read a condition book. Was this a race that you know 9 furlongs you had in mind, or what?
Well, I think the first sort of question you got to ask is, why didn't we send him back to Ellis?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very competitive being Saratoga, and you know, I'm still learning. I make mistakes every day, whether today's a mistake or not. But he came out that race at Ellis. We never win first time out.
Right.
I want to. I want them to improve with racing.
Sure.
You know, he sat, you know, in a tactical spot, turning for home. Corey said he had a ton of horse and just got tired.
Mm-hmm.
We were happy with the performance. He came out. He's breezed 2.5s and 2.625.
Yep.
And he's only getting going at the wire.
Yeah.
Galloping out strong. And we thought, you know what? We've got to get him around two turns. We feel like we've worked him in company with some older horses at Keeneland to show that he's capable of competing in the Saratoga Maiden and a man net from the dirt. And I don't think I'll ask Kieran to put Lewis eyes on if we didn't like one.
Yeah.
So I got to pick and choose my spots there. So
detecting.
It'll be interesting. You know, he still acts a bit green, Brian.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not going to tell Louis what to do. I'm sure he'll break and try and get a forward position early there. But we do like him today. That we like to see him make a step forward off that debut effort and run a good race today.
By a Travers winner and keen ice out of a Tappet mare, so a big, you know, typical big Calumet homebred pedigree,
yeah.
and one that suggests added ground. A little bone to pick with you, because I've seen you many times at the meet, and you didn't tell me Anejo could run on the main track in race one of that giant pick six carryover. But he's obviously likes the main track. Two total no-shows to start his career, sprinting on turf and then turn and a half at Belmont going a mile, but you ran him on dirt, blinkers on as well, and just a huge improvement, Jack. Maybe waiting for dirt all along, or were you surprised, or what? He's in the New York Derby now tomorrow.
We weren't surprised. We were more surprised of his dull efforts first time out and second time, you know, sprinting him first time, and he took a bit of money. That wasn't because of us, but his workouts, you know, he's breezed a few times with Lexitone and some horses that, you know, it was a maiden going into that first race at Belmont, trying to get the gauge on them. You'd work him with a winner or two and see how he gauges, and he more than held his own with multiple winners. And you know, again, I called Kieran and said, Kieran, Louis open, and Louis was open.
Right.
So I tried to put him on him decent ones, and Louis got off and said he liked him that day. He couldn't ride him back, so I put Junior on. And in that race, you know, he traveled, but he just looked like a bit of a grinding type that couldn't quicken. And we thought, you know what, a mile and eighth on the dirt, the way he's running, his running style could suit that sort of configuration,
kind of race, right?
Distance, et cetera, et cetera. And we did change a few things, but we added the blinkers, and it was first time Lasix that day. He's a horse that doesn't need Lasix. He's not running Lasix tomorrow.
Right.
You know, he ran a decent rag number. He ran 11 and 3 quarters on the rag. So, you know, first time, we like to think he'll improve. He's doing great. Obviously, Todd's and Bob's are going to be tough to beat. I think there might be a little bit of speed to run at. We'll see this sort of a tactical forwardly position, and, you know, our horse is going to stay. That's no question about it. He just keeps grinding away. And he's a horse he's still figuring out. He's not really switching leads on cue. And when he finally figures it out, he could be a nice little horse to have for the future.
And as you know, last year with Vexatious, certainly these 9-furlong, 2-turn dirt races up here, they are a grinder's kind
of absolutely.
Race, right? You have to be close and you have to have stamina.
Yeah, and it's all about who stays, really. And fortunate enough, he's got forward, you know, position early, and he will stay.
It's been a good summer up here, obviously. You get back to Lexington home base and Kentucky Downs and Churchill in the future?
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's always sort of fun getting back home. Granted, we love coming up here. The summer's flown by.
It tends to do that. It's not the 40 days, the 40 nights up here, Jack,
yeah.
Right?
But we're always fortunate for you guys allowing us to come up here and compete.
All right. Well, Jack Sisterson, always thank you so much for making the time. One of the good guys. It's a busy day, busy weekend up here in Saratoga. Jack was supposed to be on a 10:20, and he swapped out to 10:40. So really appreciate it always, Jack.
No problem,
thanks,
Brian.
So
thanks for
good luck
me.
On Saturday
thank you.
As well. All right, one more break here on the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. We'll come back. We'll talk about Steve Bix, the Paula Play of the Day as well. A little bit of an overview on the Travers card. Stay tuned.
Turf, 14 of them across the track. Sent on their way. And the dance on the outside. Broke a little sideways with Bro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got 8 to make up. They come to the top of the lane. Stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there. Hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the 8 ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride. They come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten. Stop shopping. Maria. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Watched her chances, broke smartly, but so did Tara from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, can get through. Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Tara from the Cape hanging on. Tara from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America. Brian Natto with you. A couple minutes here to wrap it up. And just a huge thanks to Al Stahl, Brad Cox, and Jack Sisterson. Always been great to this show, and appreciate them stopping by today. Both Al and Brad were schooling their Traverse horses this morning, so it's pretty cool that they were able to make the time. And Jack Sisterson's been great as well. And he's got Lexingtonian Saturday in the forego. I want to hit on a couple things. Just before he breaks. First of all, we want to talk about Steve Bix DePaula play of the day. It's in the race where Jack goes very high on Looney Sima today. That's in that fifth race, the mile and an eighth, that race we don't see a lot, the mile and an eighth, two-turn maiden special weight. Jack's got Looney Sima, but Steve Bix, here it is, the play of the day, Doomy Knife, down inside for Mike Maker. We go two turns, Tyler Gaffione beating a neck on debut at Indiana Grand, and that is a two-turn mile. At Indiana Grand, slow number, but you know Mike Callahan and I mentioned this in the handicappers report at 9 o'clock. I don't really pay a lot of attention to the buyers in the middle of the summer for a two-year-old, especially when they're going two turns. And if you're looking at the racing form and you see that buyer par of 80, no one is running remotely close to an 80 in here. So don't get dissuaded by that. I mean, you know, you keep me calm. Carry On ran a 68 last time. So he seems to be progressing for Pletcher. I think this is a wide, wide open field. Saving ground inside is imperative. And both the one Doomy Knight and the two Looney Sima can do that. You see it right there. Steve Bix DePaula play of the day. And as Mike alluded to on the handicaps report, Steve has been firing with these play of the day, so that's worth noting as well. And the Traverse card, I'm looking at it now, they drew that yesterday. The final version of the PPs will be out. I think David Aragona actually had them set this morning, so they'll be coming out later. And what can you say, it's just an awesome card, highlighted by the Midsummer Derby, obviously, with essential quality and odds on favorite. Four Eclipse Award winners are running in the card on Saturday. Essential Quality, the two-year-old champion, Whitmore, the sprint champion, Gamine, the filly and mare sprint champion, and Swiss Skydiver, the three-year-old filly champion who won the Preakness on Saturday. We're going to see Latruska, the best filly and mare, dirt horse in training in the Personal Ensign, where she's going to clash with Swiss Skydiver, who ran in the Whitney last out. I thought she ran pretty well. She took first run at Nick's Go, kind of got swatted away, but she hasn't had the best of summers up here with the McPeak Barn, you know, having that issue earlier in the meet. But I think she's going to fire a much better shot on Saturday, so I think she's a major player in there. And the one I think a lot of people are probably really, really excited to see, and that's the return of Life is Good, the Kentucky Derby winter book favorite for Bob Baffert, 3-for-3 out in California, has been off since March with a minor injury, now returns for Todd Pletcher, drawn perfectly outside in the Alan Jerkins, 3-for-3, he's going to put that on the line off the long layoff, and he's got to do it against Jackie's Warrior, I believe evens on David Aragona's morning line. He freaked in the Amsterdam, the local prep. He's freaked many times in his career. 3-for-3 at Saratoga for Steve Asmussen, Hall of Famer, and now the career wins leader in racing. And that's just an awesome matchup between just two horses that have
a world of talent. So yes, they only got six in the Alan Jerkins, but that's not really surprising because all along we knew those two horses were going in there. I'm looking at the personal ensign now. Brad Cox mentioned Bonnie South for Judmont. Let's draw a line through the Dell Cap at 10 furlongs. Dunbar Road, Chad Brown scratched her out the other day to run here. He's also got Royal Flag, who won the Shoe V. I mentioned Latruska, Harvey's Little Goyle. A lot of people like her as well. Multiple graded stakes winner, Dirt Turf. We've got the Sword Dancer with Tribuven. Gouffo is in there as well. Rock Emperor, Channel Maker. I mean, the gang's all here. Japan shipping in for Aiden O'Brien and the Coolmore folks. So it's just a cross-border, 6 for 7 over to Turf at Saratoga. And then, of course, the Travers, headlined by Essential Quality. 7 for 8 Lifetime, 2-year-old champion, going to be the 3-year-old champion if he wins on Saturday. You know, he doesn't have to win, but he is legitimately 3 or 4 to 5 in this race, and everybody else has got to get to his level. But, you know, if you watch the Jim Dandy, he was workmanlike. Yes, he had a troubled wide trip. He also got a flow set up that day, and it's to be determined on Saturday, but he's certainly front and center in the Midsummer Derby, and can't wait to see it all unfold. We'll have giant pools guaranteed in the pick fours and pick fives. Check the network, a lot of promotions as well, as Mike Callahan mentioned earlier. So that's going to wrap it. I'm just so thankful, everybody, for making the time, stopping by, for watching today. Seth Merrow is going to have another edition, obviously, of Racing Across America on Saturday, and he's going to have grade one guests in store as well. Handicappers report tomorrow, and Seth too. Say it again, Brian. Oh, Todd Pletcher, Seth, number seven TV personality in the country. So he can yell at me offset. Seven, as he says to me, he's got Todd Pletcher. Okay, that's pretty good. So newly minted Hall of Famer Todd Pletcher is going to join Seth on Saturday, a couple others as well. That's early, too. Don't forget that. That's early on Saturday with the post, Bri, 8 and 9 o'clock, correct? Thank you. 8 o'clock Handicappers Report, 9 o'clock Racing Across America. I'll have a little tear in my eye that I don't have to wake up at 6:45 this Saturday morning. But Seth and Anthony will hit it out of the park. That's it for me. I am out of here. Best of luck as we embark on Travers Weekend. Don't forget, New York Showcase Day tomorrow as well. A plethora of state-bred stakes. The stars are all here tomorrow, too. Weather looks great. It's going to, we're going to lose this humidity up here. Hopefully the rain holds off. That's always to be determined, summer in Saratoga. But the hot weather that's going to be here today, I think, is going to be gone tomorrow and certainly for the weekend. So enjoy it. Best of luck. Fund up those OTB Bets accounts and fire on what's an awesome weekend of racing. Thanks so much. Enjoy and good luck. Take care.
Racing Across America has been brought to you by. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922, 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for Life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime, with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.